Kerr's Eye Cat Attack podcast exploding into your eardrums like a year 7 science experiment. Tell you what's not exploding. It's Ben Casanelia with you. I'm joined by K-Rock's number one caller, Tom King. And Kingy, the cats, the pussies are purring and they continue to purr.
They do. They do. This is a very sedate, very sort of pre-finals from you, Benny. You haven't sort of launched into the introduction.
No, I haven't. I've got my Lynyrd Skynyrd t-shirt on.
I did see that.
So that generally suggests that things are looking up. Yes. I did listen to a bit of the great Ronnie Van Zant this morning.
Yep.
And, yeah, so that suggests that I am up and about. The Cats are up and about last, I forget what game time they, when they played. Yeah. There's so many games. Last Friday night? No. When did they play?
They played
Friday night.
Last Friday.
Yes. Yeah. So I was on the money. Yeah, they were good, weren't they? Geez, that was a good effort. 37 points down, then win by two.
Yeah. They were fried early in the second quarter. I reckon if the Dogs had kicked one more, if they had kicked that goal at the start of the second, just maybe the Cats aren't coming back. 7 goals is maybe a bridge too far.
Yeah, maybe. You might be right. I just had this feeling throughout the second half they were going to win. They were just grinding away.
I reckon halfway through the second quarter you had the feeling that
they were back in the mix. Yeah. I thought it was a good effort because they didn't panic. They were able just to okay, they had a howling first quarter. That's fair enough. That's probably going to happen to every side. We saw Richmond struggle to beat. You know, Fremantle dominate Richmond last night for long periods of that game. So they had a howling first quarter, but they kept their composure. They didn't, you know, they were able to turn the game the way the game was played, play it on their terms. They didn't eat up the margin in 5 minutes.
Well, so Neildy spoke about a couple of things at quarter time. He spoke about don't go after the margin in one hit, break it down.
And I think the clubs, the coach, will, I was going to say Andrew Buse, Jed Buse said post game that that's what the message was at quarter time. Just eat into it. We're not going to pick it up at half time.
Neildy said similar.
Yeah.
And the other thing that Neildy said was that little handball out the back.
Out the back, yeah.
Where they were getting their goals at the stoppage was
the old stoppage. Yeah. I love a stoppage.
So the
heavy stoppages.
But the bit, yeah, that's
an awareness. Have you had any awareness of any regions of your body?
I've got hamstring awareness at the moment.
Have
I went
you?
And saw my myotherapist yesterday. And
what happened?
She whacked the needles in. And do you know when they put the needle in and they hit the muscle and they do the little have you ever had that needling done when you've been massaged? No. You haven't.
Well, I've obviously haven't been paid. I haven't paid enough for that.
So anyway, I get the needles, and when she twists and hits the nerve, like you jolt off the table.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the whole idea, probably. Yeah, but no, I am up and about the Cats, and
this is the so right. I know Hawkins and Selwood will play on next year, but Ablett is probably gone, and Taylor's probably.
We've been saying this for 3 years.
Taylor's out the door, but I think the next 6 weeks, Benny, this is the door is open, but it's closing.
We said this last year, Kingy.
No, they were 14 and 4 last year. You said this last year.
No, they were 14 and 4.
Yep.
They had very few injuries.
Mm-hmm.
They're in exactly the same position now. It's a shortened season, but they're in exactly the same position now. And they didn't make the grand final last year.
They're a better side this year.
Yeah, I hope you're right. But the proof will be in the pudding in the finals because it's not like they've shot up from 15th on the ladder.
No.
They've actually been around the mark and they've been in this exact same position before where their form's been really good and it's translated to zilch.
I'm just concerned about one thing.
And what's that?
They lose to Richmond.
Your hamstrings?
No, if they lose to Richmond,
yep,
they potentially miss top four.
Yeah, well, that's
the result. Do you know what result they need?
I needed Fremantle last night.
They needed either Fremantle last night, or they need Collingwood tomorrow night
to beat Brisbane.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's not necessarily off the cards.
No, it's Brisbane. Brisbane are going pretty well though, and they've got a pretty much full list to choose from.
But
they don't have too many injuries.
But Port Adelaide win out from here.
Yep.
I think West Coast.
I'm not worried about Port.
No,
I'd be happy to beat Port in Adelaide.
Even with the bye, I think coming from fifth or below is going to be a
I agree
too
with
far.
You. I agree.
The Cats have to win out. The Cats don't win out. They could find
that
themselves.
That would mean they'd win 10 in a row, 9 in a row.
Well, yeah.
It's
what,
a big
what
ask.
Did the Eagles win? They won 8 in a row?
All at home. Seven.
No, they might have won 9 in a row. I reckon they won 2 on the road before they left and then won 7.
Weren't they 1 and 3?
No, they were 2-3 when they left.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, actually, they were 3-3 when they left because they played one at home in round one, and I think they were away for five, ended up winning two of them.
Oh, I get confused.
You are easily confused.
The Cats will finish where they finish. There's no point in worrying about 2-3 weeks' time. Just win on Sunday, hopefully. You see them in the AFL, though, that when you go on a really long winning streak, you sort of do a howler. I mean, Richmond bucked that trend last year by being 7-6 and then winning out.
Yep.
I mean, if Geelong can do that, that would be an unbelievable feat. But it seems like you can sort of only hold. And we saw it.
Was Carlton their howler?
Well, that was 1,000 years ago. Mm. That's clearly the worst game that they've played.
Or is that coming back to
bottom? And they lost by 2 points.
Or are they coming back to bottom on the bum?
But potentially, yeah. But
we did say that at the time. This might hurt in the long run.
And the Richmond game is going to be massive.
Yep.
Massive. So Essendon have found a way to trouble Geelong.
Who goes to Denver?
And Essendon, I don't know what happened, but at half time of the game against Hawthorn, their last six quarters have been real. They should have beaten West Coast.
Yep.
But they absolutely dominated West Coast. They just couldn't score.
Yeah.
They're kicking. There's sort of no efficiency forward of centre. I don't know what happened in that game. I watched that game, Essendon West Coast. There was 7-1, and I was just about to turn off thinking this is going to be diabolical.
Yep.
And from 7-1 point, and I'm tipping it was 15 minutes into the second quarter, somewhere around there.
Yeah, well, late in the second, they got going.
They dominated the rest of the game.
Yep.
Absolutely dominated West Coast. So Geelong wouldn't want to be taking their foot off their pedal because traditionally Essendon have found a way to trouble the Cats.
Yep.
So Geelong can't afford. And hopefully, the good thing is that shortened season, you don't have as much time to think about it.
Yep.
Competition for spots. Guys are not going to be hopefully get a bit complacent because the six guys on the fringe that probably make your team, because you know that... You know, the Dangerfield and Hawkins and, Tom Stewart. And they're going to play pretty well.
Duncan.
It's how the 7 or 8 sort of from 15 to 22 go.
And right now they're in good form.
They are. And they'll be desperate to keep their spot. So that adds a little bit more hunger. I mean, it shouldn't make any difference, but the reality is it probably does at the end of the day.
Of course it does.
So they've got all the stars aligned and they've got no injuries. I mean, the only injury they've got is Stephen Reynoldson, I think, who may have some awareness of his... blonde hair. Hey?
Still missing the skipper.
Yeah, but I think they're just managing him into the season. Yeah. If there was a final playing tomorrow, I guarantee he'd be playing.
Yep. He probably won't play Sunday.
And then he'll play the last two games.
You hope, yeah. Because then it gets him. You would then think at worst they're having a 6-day break into playing the Swans, but I reckon they'll probably get a... The AFL are running, talking about a Thursday to Monday round for round 18, so that means the Cats probably won't play until a Saturday because Geelong and Sydney is not going to be your marquee game on a Thursday or a Friday night. It's probably going to be your Saturday twilight sort of arrangement.
We got any questions?
We got lots.
Have we?
We have got, yeah, absolutely.
Far away.
They have come at us.
Hit us up.
Very, very hard. Foxdog 50, Constable. I love him as a young potential player as much as I love Cameron Ling, Cameron Ling loves him, but you do know if there are any truth to the rumours that was on him a month ago that he wants to be traded out at the end of the season. I think we need to keep him at our club as what we will get for him will be bugger all, but his value to us is worth more to us as our inside mids aren't getting any younger. Thought you may have heard some inside info about him. I struggle to see how he'll be at the club next year.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with all that too. I think that he's going to be disappointing to leave or see him walk out the door because... right now Geelong are going really well, but he's on the fringe of the team. But he's probably right that in 12 months, 18 months' time, you desperately need him. But right now, and he sees an opportunity to go and play senior footy regularly somewhere else, and you can't dispute that. I agree with everything who was it? Foxy Legs?
Foxdog 50.
Foxy Legs. Foxdog. Yeah, well, I agree with everything you just said. But I think the reality is that Charlie Constable won't be wearing the blue and white hoops next year.
He's contracted, though.
Okay, well...
That doesn't mean anything these days.
No, and if his manager goes and says, we're not happy here, we want to move, then the club would be probably stupid to hang on to him. But if they can talk him round, and who knows, the thing is that the midfield is not going to change, really. I mean, Dangerfield and Selwood are still going to be there next year. Guthrie and Menegola are still going to be there next year. Duncan is still going to be there. Parfitt is continuing to improve.
Narkle.
More midfield. Narkle.
Although Parfitt and Narkle both out of contract.
Yeah, so that'd be interesting. If Parfitt was to go, Surely they keep Constable. Mm. And I'm not saying they're the same sort of player, but you couldn't lose Parfitt and Constable in the one year, two young players.
Atkins probably goes more midfield.
Yeah,
time
he just
again.
Doesn't find enough of the footy for mine. He's good defensively, and I don't mind him in there for burst, but he just doesn't have a way of finding enough footy playing midfield.
Mm. Maybe a bit more responsibility next year.
Well, maybe. And he'll continue to grow, but I just don't think he's ever going to be that 20-25 possession midfielder that you need. He does a lot of the one percenters, which are great, but I think if you're playing midfield, you've got to be offering a little bit more than just being tackling. And that's his pressures his go, and if he's not pressuring, he doesn't offer you much else because he just... I don't know if he's ever really played midfield, has he?
That's where he played in the VFL.
Only for a bit. Wasn't he more of...
No, he was a midfielder in the VFL.
Wasn't he more of a forward?
No, he was a...
Half forward?
Midfielder.
Type player?
No, he was a midfielder.
Yeah, he just... I don't know if he played midfield and get it 10 times.
Yeah. He did win a best and fairest, if not two, in the VFL.
Well, hopefully he continues to grow.
Yeah.
And he's got... I like him because he is defensive, but at the moment he's got the mixed... He needs to work on his offensive stuff and get involved a little bit more.
Catters 28. Hi, guys. Feel like I've probably asked this already, but what do we do with Big Sav for the rest of the season? I know he's got potential, but purely for this season, does he have a spot or do we just put him on ice? Unfortunately, he looks just completely shot of confidence. He's not in Geelong's best 22.
Yeah, well, you're adamant about that, and I think there's differences of opinion, and I tend to agree with you. Right now, all I'd hate to see is in a final against Richmond, and they just keep getting along to Tom Hawkins, and Noah Bolter, David Asprey, Dylan Grimes, and
Nick Vlauston
just continually thump it away, which is what can happen if you become really one-dimensional. So, and you do run the risk of being one-dimensional with Hawkins.
Maybe they find that out next Friday night. They go without him, and if it doesn't work and the Cats get beaten, that they then have to change it for next time.
This is against the Tigers.
Next Friday night.
Yeah. Well, I'd say that would be something that they'd be looking at. But I do agree right now, as it stands, the way the Cats are playing, Radicalea is probably still on the fringe. Mm. But it just, you know, yeah, my fear is that they become, in when there's pressure on and you're not moving the ball with the freedom that they are against some of these lesser sides, the long kick in becomes your sort of go-to because the pressure is such that means all you've got.
You just dump it in there.
Yeah, and if you dump it into Tom Hawkins all the time, the good defenders will, they'll just absolutely, they'll pull your pants down and your bot will be absolutely red raw.
Food Leso 5. Hey guys, outside of Ablett and Selwood, do you see any certain starters currently outside of the team? Also, it was great to hear Chris Scott say that continuity was going to be prioritised from here on in. Do you agree that over the past few years, we've occasionally been a bit too focused on flexibility at the expense of bedding down a settled team when leading into finals? Yeah, i.e. leaving Reece Stanley out of the qualifying final last year and playing Mark Blitzarves in the ruck.
Who'd been in defence all year.
Yep.
Yeah.
We've harped on it. I can't see anybody else outside of Ablett and Selwood coming in.
Well, I like him, but Simpson, but he's because of his injury. So Close comes out.
For Ablett.
Yeah, for Ablett. And then who comes out for Selwood?
Is it Atkins?
Or potentially, I'd say. But then the one of the things you have to remember with that, and I'm not saying...
Oh, the other one that's got to come back in is Tui as well. If he's not... Oh, actually, he played last week, but yeah, he may not play this week.
Well, yeah, he'll be in the team. The one thing you have to look at is Ablett and Selwood coming back in. Mm. You bring in two blokes who play predominantly one way.
Yep.
You just got to be mindful of that.
They've both got to come back in, though.
Oh, I'm not saying that they don't. But who you take out becomes interesting because Atkins then is a defensive player.
Yep.
So you need him in. Now, Close is a young fella who has done well to play some games.
His time will come.
He's shown a little bit great. So he can go back to play in the scratch match and try and... And if you needed to call on him, you think, yeah, okay, well, he can offer us something.
Yep.
You just got to be careful who you take out because you can't have too many...
One-way runners.
I wouldn't want to see in the midfield. I wouldn't want to be the first bounce and see Dangerfield, Selwood and Duncan.
Yep.
I wouldn't want to be seeing that.
Because their only hope, and then backing that Reece Stanley's going to win the tap and put it exactly where they
want
it.
And if it's against Nick Natanui...
Well, Nick Natanui's winning the tap and roving
himself. And that's why I think the Cats have got a good mix at the moment.
Mm.
You up as great as names... And I'm not saying they don't come back in, but you have to be careful that you really upset the apple cart with the way they're playing by bringing in two blokes who are predominantly offensive players.
I think that will be being weighed up at selection. Daz Broncos, great call the other night. How dirty do you think Colo was when Mark O'Connor kicked that goal? He must be thinking, what do I have to do?
Well, he's going
to
kick one. Oh, you kick one on Sunday. There you go. That's my prediction. Mm. And if your odds boost it, you can get 40 to 1.
Hmm.
Do you think? Is that a good bet?
I'd rather him kick it in a final.
No, I want to kick it on Sunday if I've got 40 to 1.
Grand final day.
40 to 1?
40 to 1, wow. Gamble responsibly.
The more you bet, the more you win.
Daz Broncos, great team effort after dropping the ball in the first quarter to come back and grind out that style of win. Really showed a level of determination, belief and commitment to each other that I've not seen overall for a while. We've won a lot of games since 2012, but rarely have I seen that style of team effort, and it's the 1%ers, the off-the-ball pressure acts and the non-stat attracting things like blocks, running to fill space, etc. Yeah, some blokes that do that really well. Menegola is obviously the one.
That's my point.
He did it again the other night.
You know, Exhibit A. I talk about bringing Ablett and Selwood in.
Yep.
That's my point. So I agree. And I mean, I think back to Richmond in 2017. And one of the things that made them such a great side and they've continued it on is their ability to do little things. The tap-ons, the... you know, the blocking, like that Daz just mentioned there. All those little things that, you know, are not sexy and they're not going to make the highlights real. They're not going to be sort of Peter Hitchener style at 10 past six. Mm. But they what makes you a really good team, because the sort of purely offensive stuff comes naturally to so many guys.
Mm.
It's getting 18 guys or 22 guys to buy into something that's defensive and doing your little bit when you're called on, not offensively, it's defensively. And that's always been Geelong's Achilles heel.
Yep.
That they don't always get that buy-in from all 22. Right now, they seem to have a really good buy-in, but they are going to alter the mix. So let's hope that whoever, you know, Ablett and Selwood are great players, don't get me wrong, but it does alter the mix of your team.
Yep. Speaking of running to apply blocks or fill space, Gary Rowan, the work he did to affect English's kick was amazing. He was over 15 paces, so about 15 metres away, and the time it took English to go through his kicking motion, Rowan had covered that distance, affected the spoilum on the free. Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
Well, it was a great bit of play. He was probably lucky that it was Tim English kicking the ball, because Siberian winters move a little bit faster than Tim English trying to kick the ball. By the time he did his hair... And then sort of got into his kicking motion. About 14 minutes had passed, so he did him a favour there. But Rowan, it was a good effort.
To paraphrase draft day, this is from Turbo Cap. We live in a whole different world than we did before this pandemic. Yeah, well played, Turbo Cap. With list size reduction coming, just how many players will have to go? And do we keep a player like Jack Stephen rather than keeping a younger player that might not have been given a go yet? Simpson has shown the worth of patience. So players like Kennelly, who was showing plenty pre-season, Jarvis, Tarker, who are only 20, might be seem easy to list this year, but long-term might be very short-sighted. In my opinion, salary cap payouts will not be a reason to keep players. If the AFL have excuse clubs to allow them to pay out coaches, then they will allow clubs to pay out contracts with no salary cap complications.
Yeah, well, this covers a bit there. I'll ask you a question. How long is Stephen contracted
for?
2 years. Okay, so forget contracts, okay?
So
who would you rather have next year, Stephen or Constable on the list?
Stephen.
On what basis?
I just think he's got a few more tricks than Charlie.
Yeah, but he's down to his last one.
Yeah.
And his last one.
But it's quite funny. You and I spoke about the best 22 before, about who comes out, and you didn't say Jack Stephen.
Oh, he was the other one I was trying to think of. He's out.
But he didn't instantly come to mind.
No, he did. He would have. I was having a seniors moment. He would have. He's out. Gone. Right. Stephen, close out. Selwood, Ablett in. So Ablett's in for... Selwood's in for Stephen.
Yep.
Ablett's in for close.
Mm-hmm.
And
would you say Stephen's last three games have been pretty good?
Yep, they've been okay. Yeah, they've been fine. He hasn't set the world on fire.
But will he be better with continuity that he's now getting?
Well,
so in a couple of weeks' time, we might see something that resembles the Jack Stephen that has won four St Kilda best and fairest. Ben.
yeah, maybe. I wouldn't dispute that, but if you're dealing in hypotheticals, I don't know. He hasn't set the world on fire, let's be honest. He's been okay the last few weeks. But my point with that would be that at least you then are taking out an offensive player as well, and you're replacing Selwood, you're leaving Atkins in. I would rather have Atkins in than Stephen if you're bringing Selwood back in. And you're going to bring Selwood back in. I'm not suggesting they don't. So it balances out. If you've got Dangerfield, Selwood, Ablett, Duncan, Stephen. There's five blokes who predominantly, and the lollipop lady holds the thing up, they're only going one way.
Parfitt, Menegola.
Parfitt, Menegola are defensive players, and Guthrie can do a bit of both.
Yep.
So and Menegola can do a bit of
so all, can Parfitt.
Yeah, those three can
but
all
they
do
have it. A defensive yeah. bent to
Parfitt's
the game.
A great tackler.
Yep.
Menegola's defense, and when I talk defense, I don't talk about any tackling, I'm talking about his ability to get back and help.
Yep.
He roams the wing.
Yep.
And he's
your old fashioned wingman. Sam
he is, but he's got an ability to cover so much ground yeah. that he can get back and help out.
Yeah,
and Guthrie, you know, I think he has a little bit of, although he's starting to really get offensively minded this year, and he's getting a lot of the ball. But he has an ability. You know, he's not a bad tackler. He's actually quite strong in the contest. Mm. I just don't want the Cats to become too one way. And I think Stephen out, leave Atkins in.
Right. Last question from Flogwater by Ben and Tom.
They're hot Flogwater.
With finals
have you ever drunk that stuff?
No, I haven't. With finals around the corner, what end result for 2020 do you think would be a bare minimum pass mark for Chris Scott and the club?
Grand final.
Yep.
A grand final appearance.
Yep.
We said that last year, yep. and they didn't get there. I think, did we say it the year before? They yep. didn't get there.
Yep.
Yeah. And I just pray, please. I light candles most mornings. And I've lit one every morning since round 7, which was, 2 weeks ago? and that when we get to the finals, okay, let's just do what got us to the finals.
Yep.
Let's not try and create something out of thin air that looks sexy and might be the wet match-winning move and absolutely blows up in your face like the Year 7 experiment I suggested at the top of the podcast. So let's just go with what got us there. Do you reckon that's going to happen, Kingy?
I hope so.
Do you reckon that the coach is there, just wants to tinker with stuff, and then when we get to the finals, he's going to pull off one of the worst moves since Jackson continued to dance during that Pepsi commercial when his cranium was on fire?
I'm backing that the coach might have learned a lesson.
How many lessons? How many years has it taken?
I'm hoping now.
Do you know, you've got a better memory than me. List the howler, the finals howlers of the Cats.
Oh, Henderson Ford against the Swans.
Left Menzel out.
Yeah, Menzel was out of the
in the
that was a qualifying
final against Richmond.
Yep.
When Geelong kicked one goal.
Starting Dangerfield Ford in the prelim against Adelaide.
Yeah.
That didn't work out very well.
Leaving Stanley out against Collingwood, playing Blitzers on the wing when he's your best defender.
Yep.
How many years would it take you to work that out?
No.
And I couldn't agree more with David King when he said that Chris Scott needs to be the reason Geelong win.
Yep.
That's why he pulls these moves off. Now, he's got them going beautifully well now. Let's just leave it. Let's keep going with what they're doing. This is my fear that the mix gets changed. People saying Ablett's a certainty to come back in. I honestly don't.
I don't. He's not a certainty.
Hey, everyone's saying that he's a certainty.
No, he's not a certainty. With four top two finishes from 2012, 13, 16, 17, 19, and zero grand final appearances, can the club justify persevering with Chris Scott for much longer if the team does not get past the prelim final stage? Chris Scott is signed until the end of 2022.
Yeah, he's signed until I'm on the pension check. Yeah, he's not going anywhere. Mm. And look, they're going. You couldn't question him this year.
No.
He's
through everything that's been.
And do you know what?
Up.
We've said this before on Carol Footy. Do you know what's helped the Cats? The hub.
Yep.
It's helped the Cats, yep. in my opinion, because it's forced the coach potentially to have relationships with players that he otherwise wouldn't have. Yep. And it's brought the group together. And I think, you know, guys like. I'm using him as an example, but, you know, guys like Paddy Dangerfield, great player.
Mm.
But he has so many other things going on outside of football that when he's at the club, he gives it his all.
Yep.
But he isn't hanging around and having coffee with a young bloke, or he's off doing
podcasts,
whatever it else he does. Yeah, fishing shows and all sorts. And that's fantastic.
Yep.
But he doesn't. So the younger players really only see him probably as Patrick Danger, the footballer.
Yep.
At training, and you know, and I'm sure they get along famously with him. He's got that sort of personality. I'm sure he goes and has a quick chat and whatever. But they don't get to see him outside. This has forced the group probably to spend a lot more, or clearly spend a lot more time together. And it's probably forced someone like Chris Scott to have conversations with players that he otherwise wouldn't normally have.
Yep.
And it's
the water cooler talk that you talk about. All of a sudden, there's a water cooler.
Well, the number one thing Brett Ratton learnt from his time at Carlton is he should have had more water cooler conversations.
Yep.
And he's got St Kilda playing. I know they got beaten last week, but he's got them on the up, hasn't he?
Yep.
They've seriously improved.
Yep.
And I know people, I think David Teague's doing the same at Carlton. So those conversations are absolutely vital. I mean, we saw it in 2017 with Damien Hardwick.
Yep.
We saw the change in Nathan Buckley when he was confronted with, you know, when he had all the issues in terms of potentially losing his job and there was all sorts of talk. He changed his ways completely in terms of how he interacted with others around the club. Now, Geelong, it's been forced on Geelong.
Yeah, but Chris Scott had started to make, remember that Cookie did that health check a couple of years ago of the list, and one of the things that came up was regarding interactions between the coach and his playing group, and that and I think it's been a gradual change over the last couple of years to the point now. Well, hang on, yes, this has helped, and then it's obviously been reflected in the way the Cats are playing.
Well, and that's good, yeah. And this has heightened it. This hub situation has heightened it.
The fine line is going to be, is that they've still got another 7 weeks.
Mm.
They're not going anywhere.
Well, if you're winning, if you keep winning, and you got finals, surely it heightens your sort of.
Yeah,
you've got through the sort of drag period, and you're into the.
Yeah, true, but do you get blokes who start going, you know, start looking at the date and going, well, gee, we're out of here in 3 weeks, and that starts to consume.
I wouldn't have thought. Not if you've got a premiership, you think you can win.
Yep.
Surely that keeps you galvanised and keeps you focused.
Yeah, I hope so.
The issue will be that when the finals come, there are bigger gaps.
Yes.
So
if you play round 18 and then you win a qualifying final, you're actually only playing.
You're hubbing it up for one game in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, but you play, week off, play, week off, play.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who benefit from that. Be fine for Brisbane. It's fine for Port Adelaide.
Yeah, yeah.
Sleep in your own bed.
Yeah.
Maybe the thing is you've adjusted, though, that, you know, where you are has become home.
It's become familiar. Yep. And I think, you know, the Geelong's hub, we heard from Benny Matthews, assistant coach of Melbourne, last week, saying that he's in the hub with Essendon. Melbourne are in the hub with Essendon and Collingwood,
yes.
They're all together at the one resort.
Geelong are by themselves,
so they don't have that, you know, those sort of awkward conversations walking past people from other clubs and all those sorts of things. Geelong have got their training facility right next to where they...
Don't have to get on a bus.
No, so it's a good situation the Cats are in. But I do agree, yeah, that will become a bit of a mental battle when there isn't a game in 4 days and a game in 5 days. It's potentially... Let's hope for the Cats they do win the qualifying final. And it becomes a... You're there for 3 weeks and only playing one game. Yeah, I agree that might be... I'm sure they'll find ways to work around that. But look, this season's thrown up so many conundrums. And the Gabba Grand Final, I reckon, is good for the Cats.
Oh, fantastic.
They go all right there.
Tom Hawkins faced the media this morning and I said, oh, Tom, you have a pretty good record at the Gabba, especially when it absolutely hoovers down rain. And he goes, that was the night I... And he goes, that reminds me, if I do play in the rain at the Gabba, I need to have a drawstring on my shorts because most of the night the shorts went around my ankles.
He's going to win the Coleman, is he?
He wanted to deflect that today. I did say to him, and if people listen to this before we go to air tonight for GWS and Carlton, I did say to him, I said, is your motto to your teammates, lower your eyes? And he goes, well, Duncan, Selwood, Dangerfield, they're already doing that. They're already looking for me. He goes, but I've got a flag to win and I'd rather win a flag. He played it down. And do you know what? Actually, knowing Tom Hawkins the way I do, winning a Coleman medal is not... nice to look back on. But right now, I desperately want to win another flag.
Yeah, oh, good on him. And seven clear of Kennedy.
Yes.
He'd be no certainty to play this week as well.
Correct. So Kennedy, they've only got 2 games left, the Eagles.
No, I think they had one in hand, didn't they?
They had one in hand.
I think so. I think they've got 3 because they had one game less than the Cats.
Yes,
so they played their game correct, the other night, right, so that's made them 14.
So they've got St Kilda, and they must have one on the weekend, and then St Kilda to kick off round 17. Yeah.
So he's 7 clear of Kennedy and 8 clear of Dixon.
Yes.
So they've got North Melbourne, though, so anything could happen there.
We're doing that game Saturday night.
Well, let's hope that... I mean, look, I agree with you. Tommy Hawkins probably...
Let's hope that Harry Mackay or Josh Walker does a good job on...
Tarrant's a pretty good defender. Yeah, if the ball's going down sideways, Big Charlie could have a field day.
Yeah,
we need Tommy to kick a few. If he gets to 40 goals, he's home and hosed. Yeah. And the punters will be rejoicing.
last thing from Flogwater. Is it possible for Ben to use all of nude stimulus and unprecedented during the call of the Bombers game?
So I'll get those in. We've got to write those down. I will. I'll get them in nude, stimulus. What was it?
Unprecedented.
Unprecedented.
Benny, we've got a big weekend. We've got GWS and Carlton. We've got I'm looking forward to Brisbane and Collingwood.
Yeah, it'll be a good game.
Port and North Adelaide. Port North Adelaide.
North Adelaide?
Actually, Port and North Adelaide.
Sandful game.
Port and North Adelaide actually might be better than Port and North Melbourne, yeah, to be honest.
Yeah, look, it's an important game for North.
But the good,
jeez, they were putrid. They have been terrible.
The good thing is the Cats team will come out on Saturday night while we're on air, and we'll have plenty to talk about.
Yeah, we will.
And then Sunday from 2 o'clock for the
Cats. So no Selwood for the Cats?
I wouldn't have thought.
No, you're saying
especially because they've got a 5-day break.
Tui be out?
I think Tui will miss too. I reckon what they'll look at is they'll go, we can beat Essendon with a good side, with our a pretty good side, and then we'll roll everybody out for Richmond the following Friday.
Well, I'll need
who
to
plays on Danaher?
I think they'll probably try Harry Taylor.
Does Blitzarves have to go back?
No, I think they'll try Harry Taylor, and they've got Blitzarves in reserve. Blitzarves has been playing a slightly different role to the sort of genuine fullback, which
only hope is that maybe Danaher hasn't pulled up well because
he's played two games now.
Yeah,
he missed three shots at goal against West Coast they weren't gimmies, but
watch him kick him against the Cats.
Well,
man,
that's right. He's a dangerous player. It's great to see him back. Actually, yeah, he's good to watch.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah,
covers the ground like he's 6'8".
He has a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not super serious.
Sat on the fence while one of his teammates was out and shot a goal the other night.
And that's what made me think West Coast are just going, is that they were dominated by Essendon for 2.5 quarters. Mm. They just couldn't kick a goal. And then what about Luke Shuey? The staff did the competition a bit of a favour putting him back on.
Yeah, and he's hurt the hamstring again.
Yeah, he's out. He'd be out for at least. Yeah. He won't play again until the finals.
They're only missing Yo.
Yo Gabba Gabba, yeah.
Yo yourself.
Yeah, exactly right.
The Eagles are in okay. Right now, Richmond's a team to beat, I reckon.
Yeah, probably. Richmond, and the Cats.
Richmond are the team to beat.
Let's put the Cats up there. Mm-hmm. They're the team to beat, but they won six in a row.
Well, I reckon that Richmond-Geelong game might tell us a bit.
Will be new during that game.
Kurz Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisette dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KurzHire.com.au.